This is the last show I will ever play with you. This is the end of what you put me through. The last show I will ever play with you. It's the end of what we do.
What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drunk, but I am drinking my Crescent vodka that I'm going to make a drink whenever we get to that point. But anyway, what a weekend for Louisiana football. Both LSU and the Saints put on an offensive showcase, or was it an offensive showcase, on the East Coast, and while LSU's victory puts them in the national championship, the Saints' victory was overshadowed by the fact that the Lions and the Seahawks couldn't do their part, or did they play their exact role that Darth Goodell wanted them to play? Anyway, the Saints are now the number three seed in the playoffs. That being said, there is much to celebrate after the regular season. We'll talk about that. We're going to catch up after Jason's Christmas solo story last week. Jason, great job last week carrying the torch. What's your name? What's your number? How you doing?
Not Adam, but I do like the how you doing thing. It's a little different in there. This is my first glass of wine. I do have a fresh new box, courtesy of my brother for Christmas. Clearly, he's been watching the show. Are you shooting something?
I'm making a drink.
Oh, really? You don't just pour it in and say, yeah, that
looks good. Use my
okay.
He's dainty.
Okay, so I'll go with a one right now, but I'll be climbing a little bit. So.
All right.
I'm a playoff fantasy league draft tonight, so I'm a plus. So I couldn't drink with that, but I've got my jammy wine right now. So
jamming,
Sammy, shut up.
All right, and Scott, welcome back to the show. And
hola.
What's your number?
I'm at a one. I'm having a little Michelob Ultra here.
Okay, good job. On the live stream, we've got Tom Ensign.
Sorry, guys.
Happy New Year, Who Dat. The Mailman, no bowling league tonight. I get to watch live. Chris Sansbury.
Right.
Okay, so before we get into the game recap, I did a tweet.
What's your number?
Oh, I'm a one. Yeah, I'm a one. I had one of my drinks before, and now I've got another one that I made.
We're all a bunch of ones. At least we're all not a bunch of zeros.
We're number one. We're going to have to get to a three for the seeding.
All right.
I did a tweet after Christmas asking everybody to send a picture if they got any kind of Saints paraphernalia for their Christmas present.
Right.
And I wanted to show. I didn't get to show mine. I did get these. That's a Saint sock.
Okay.
Nice.
And then I got this shirt. Did y'all ever see this shirt on
I saw it somewhere. I saw it somewhere.
Facebook or something? Yeah, I saw it advertised on Facebook. And I tagged Andrea in, and I was like, maybe you should get this for me. Can you see that?
Oh, yeah.
I see the back.
Okay, we got it.
I guess mine's got a little mail, huh, Joe?
It's cool. It's very similar to the W flags the Cubs gave out. My dad went to one of the playoff games when they won the World Series, and there was a W, but it was all the players' names to form the W. So it's very, very similar. But it's cool. I like it. If you're gonna get an NFC South shirt, that's one that I would actually approve of.
That's my whole thing, is I usually am not the kind of person who's going to buy a division championship shirt. I mean, there's so much more we're going to win. But
is there?
This one was pretty awesome. I didn't buy it for the division championship so much as I bought it for the names and whatnot. Well, I didn't even buy it. It was bought for me. All right, let's get into game recap. The offense was rolling.
Continues to look good. Now, granted, look, Carolina rolled over. Their season's over. They're already packing their bags for vacation. But we still went out there and put up a shit ton of fucking points. And the offense continued to play well. More Alvin Kamara, which is a great sign going forward. We had both Pete and Warford back. I knew Pete was coming back. I'm glad that Warford's back, because when he got hurt, I was really worried that the injury was bad. So that's a great sign.
Thinking that we would need that bye week for Warford or Pete even.
Oh, I think we all kind of figured Pete would be back, but Warford's was scary because they never really said a bunch about it. It just looked bad when it happened. I remember they had to take, you know, he went to the sideline, left on a card. It looked pretty bad.
Okay.
So that's great getting him in here. But no, I mean, the offense is humming. Again, it's hard to judge. Well,
you could make mistakes. You know what I mean? Even though Carolina wasn't playing, the fact is, this goes back to like the Falcons game. Everybody was complaining that they didn't do what you're supposed to do against a shitty team. Well, here we have, they did what they were supposed to do against a team that wasn't playing hard. In their stadium, granted, now, and the weather wasn't cooperating. It wasn't the perfect day for football. And they still came out and they played like there was nothing to be concerned about. And that's how you want to be going into the playoffs, right? You don't want to be like Seattle.
Yeah. I was, you know, kind of like what you said with the offense, I was impressed with it. The thing I think that impressed me the most was it wasn't Drew drops back, throws to Michael Thomas. Drew drops back, throws to Michael Thomas. Like, it wasn't Michael Thomas every play. They spread it around. I think he hit like 8 or 9 different receivers. Traquan had a good game. Jared Cook, unbelievable, that one-handed catch for the touchdown was,
yeah, that was
just
great.
Freaking great. So I like that aspect of it, that he spread it around. Because you know Michael Thomas, I mean, teams are going to try to take him out, especially in the playoffs. So it's good to be able to spread it around a little bit and kind of gives you maybe a little glimmer of hope that if he is double, triple cover, whatever, we got other people that can get open and catch.
Well, I mean, because we tried to get it to Thomas and – combination of, you know, good covers. They kept having the safety on him as a second guy and one or two drops. I know he had a hand issue this week, popped up on the injury report. So hopefully that's not anything to worry about. But yeah, just, you know, having Traquan step up, because Ginn really didn't play a lot. I mean, I'm sure they're like, look, we just don't want him to get injured. We know what Ginn is.
Yeah, I'm kind of done and I'm over the whole Ginn project anyway. He dropped too much this year. I don't believe in him. I don't feel like we need him so much. Maybe as a decoy to stretch the field, if that. I mean,
I think we're going to need him at some point. Even if it's just for a player or two, we're going to need everybody. We're going to need it. Don't just piss him away.
He just kind of he pissed me off at some point this season, and I haven't kind of gotten over it yet.
That's what you do. You hold grudges.
I did. The only thing I hold on to is grudges, and the only thing I jump to are conclusions.
I mean, even if we just use him as a decoy to run deep routes to, you know, take a safety out or, you know, whatever.
And you got to throw it every now and then, because otherwise the decoy doesn't work.
Right.
So you got to throw away a down.
There was a couple of passes that Drew threw deep that you could kind of see that arm strength wasn't where it used to be.
The ball was wet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a wet ball. Come on, Scott. It's a wet ball.
That's what she said.
You only have one ball?
Yeah. Right. But it is nice that with Kamara, Traquan in this game, and Jared Cook all being viable receiving threats outside of Michael Thomas. So this idea, I think what we're going to hear going into the playoffs, especially the deeper we go, are people are going to start to criticize the Saints for being, oh, they've only got one. Even Saints fans themselves on Twitter are going to be like, oh, we need more receiving threats than Michael Thomas. It's going to be so predictable that it's going to be Kamara and Thomas. And they're going to forget about Cook. They're going to forget about Traquan. They're going to forget about Ginn, which
– going to forget about Gus.
Forgot about Dre.
That was a joke just for Roy. If Roy's still watching.
Okay.
But yeah, that's the one good thing that you can say is that, yes, like whatever the competition is, it's not like it's been great, but the offense has the offense is playing as good as it has all season, and this is what you want heading into the playoffs.
Now, so flip over to the defense. They played pretty awesome against Carolina. Again, a team that but Carolina was trying to get McCaffrey his number.
And they did, but
at the same time, we did hold him to under, 26 yards rushing?
That's what we do. We hold, what's our streak now? Like 40-something games of
42
yard rusher? Yeah.
42. The answer is always 42.
It definitely helped.
This guy knows what I'm talking about.
It definitely helped going against Greer for the first quarter and a half. Eventually, he's just like, yeah, I'm hurt. Y'all can take me out. I'm hurt. I'm out. Take me out. And Allen looked a lot better than him. Luckily, the game was in hand at that point. But the biggest difference and what really hurt us against San Francisco was you know, not having Klein and Alonzo for that game, and we had him for this game, and it makes all the difference in the world to have those two guys there along with Davis at the linebacking spot. I mean, that at this point, that's some of the difference making that we're going to need. Those guys need to be healthy the rest of the way.
Yeah. And I know we didn't get the bye, but I kind of almost – it would be good to have the rest, but if we're rolling, man, just to stop that.
I would have given everything for the bye. I would have given everything for
but
the
at
bye.
The same time, it is maybe a bit of a easier path.
No.
Look what happened the last time we had the bye during the regular season.
We got fucked by the refs. That could still happen this year, okay?
Oh, no, I'm talking about the bye during the regular season. We were rolling. We got a break. We came back against Atlanta.
Totally different. It's a lot easier to win two games to get to the Super Bowl than three.
This is true.
Yes. Two games are compared to three. Right. Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, look, we're stuck here doing this. We're going to have to win. You know, we're going to win. We're going to have to go to Green Bay. And
all right. Now, but wait. We're still in game recap, and you're jumping ahead of yourselves. All right. Jason, do you still feel meh about Deonte Harris? Because two weeks ago, whenever I talked about him making the Pro Bowl, and you're like, meh, returning.
Hold on.
Returning doesn't matter. It's not really a phase of the game that means anything.
You're trying to twist
offense and defense. Superstar players. Deonte Harris is garbage. I think that's what you said. It's a direct quote.
I mean, you love to twist my words. Did the spirit of Damon take over you this week? You know, just because I sent out a text of a picture of Aaron Brooks, you're going to twist my words again with Deonte Harris.
Did I get that?
When we were saying, oh, we're signing AB, and like, did somebody say AB?
And he sent the picture.
Yeah.
I mean, do you appreciate him now a little more?
Right, because I definitely haven't the last 4 or 5 weeks. I haven't said anything about Harris. I didn't say it.
You poo-pooed on his Pro Bowl appearance.
I didn't even – the Pro Bowl in general, Dick.
You're a 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 dick.
I'll poo-poo on Drew Brees' Pro Bowl or whoever's Pro Bowl. It's a fucking Pro Bowl.
Drew Brees is garbage? Is that it? You want Aaron Brooks back? You texted a picture of Aaron Brooks, and now you're poo-pooing on Drew Brees. I bet you voted for Drew Brees not to be in the top 10. Of NFL 100.
I voted for Aaron Brooks, and that was the deciding vote. They're like, if somebody is willing to vote Aaron Brooks over Drew Brees, then he cannot be on the top 100. Just can't.
All right. We talked about McCaffrey.
Mr. Coach Klein getting a nice pick against his old team.
Yep.
Very nice.
Has the picture there on our thing. He got the player of the game picture on this live stream.
Taysom Hill
with a touchdown. That's right.
What a great – I mean, there's a lot of room, but of course, like, yeah, they weren't stopping him.
When he was running, and it was kind of like that half of a thought that was like, oh, he's going to step out of bounds here. And then you're like, wait, no, a minute, he's not. He's Taysom Hill. He doesn't step out of bounds. And then you're like, he's on like the 10 or the 15-yard line, and you're looking ahead, and you're like, there's only two guys between him and the end zone, and you're like, that's a touchdown. Yeah. I had no doubt in my mind that he would score. Like on the 15-yard line, two guys between him and the goal line, and I was 100% sure that he was going to score that touchdown. I mean, he's better than Kittle. Taysom Hill versus George Kittle.
It's going to happen.
I'm good with that.
Kittle-corn.
Kittle-corn.
Now, I will say my last kind of thought of the game, because it was – I mean, it was over so quick. It was one of the more relaxing – game-watching experiences that I've had in a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, even sitting down, I realized, like, at the end of the day, I mean,
Twitter
was
fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. Well, except for everybody live tweeting Detroit shit in the bed. That wasn't fun. But you knew it all was going to come down to Seattle. So at the end of the day, if for some reason they lost, it wouldn't be the end of the world. But once we got up so early, you're like, yeah, this game's over. So, like, I watched the rest of the game, but I kind of like – I went to go pack a little bit. I mean, I did have the game on in the other room, but it just wasn't as – you know, it wasn't live or die every second I have to watch, and it was fun and enjoyable.
Kind of like that game.
Thank you, Caroline.
We needed the rest before the playoffs drama starts. Right.
I mean, it'd be nice if the Minnesota game we can get out there and jump out to like a 21-0 lead and kind of – enjoy that game too. Now, some season recap, season wrap-up notes that I'm sure we all pretty much know, but it's still worth mentioning and reacting to. This season marks the fourth 13-3 season that the Saints have had, all since 2009, apparently.
Wait.
Yeah, and giving them
back-to-back
13-win seasons for the first time in franchise history. So we had 13-3 2 years in a row, and yet we're the number three seed. The last team to go back-to-back 13-win seasons was?
New England.
The Saints.
New England. And 2016 and 2017. All right.
It's damn impressive. It's really damn impressive, especially losing Breeze for five games. Like, that's the crazy part.
Exactly.
26-3 the last 2 years. I mean, 26-6.
You got. You didn't have your calculator up.
Let's see. Oh, the mailman says that was also the biggest halftime lead in Saints history. That's right.
You would have thought that
09 season we would have had a bigger lead in one of those games, but.
But we also gave up some points. Like, I mean, the fact that we held them to, what, 3 points? They got that field goal? Or was that in the second half? Was it a shutout?
I don't remember, but I think
again, clearly I had lost interest in that game at that point.
Yeah. All right, this makes 2 years in a row that we've got a 7-1 road record, our road record being better than our home record. That's another franchise first. That's 14-2. So this whole idea about the Saints having to go on the road for the playoffs, dude, we're a road team. We're road dogs. Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody.
Sounds so much better when the road dog does it. Road dog sounds so much better.
That was like the whitest thing I've ever heard.
That was like Siri saying, oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody.
They did score to three before halftime.
Okay.
Let's see. Breeze finished the regular season with 27 touchdowns while missing five games. Yeah, 27 touchdowns. This is the 14th season he's thrown for more than 25 touchdowns, which puts him in a second-place tie with Tom Brady for the number 14 times doing 25 or more touchdowns, and they're behind Manning. But Breeze is not in the club of the top 10 all-time quarterbacks.
Of course not. No.
Jared Cook, who came on late, finished the season with the most touchdowns he's ever had in a regular season, 9.
And the most we've had since Jimmy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, most of that was in the second half of the year. I mean, you remember week 5, 6, 7, we're like, why the hell did we sign this guy? He's not doing a thing. And then just boom.
He did a thing.
Instant awesome number two receiving weapon right now.
Yeah. Kamara joins Deuce McAllister as the second Saint to have 1,300 total yards from scrimmage in not one, not two, but 3 straight seasons.
Wow.
You heard that?
That is kind of amazing considering he's had quote unquote a down season.
You say he's down, but is it really down? Because
he got
4 touchdowns in the last 2 games.
Yeah, maybe the last 3 games he's got a couple. Now 1,300 yards, it's good, but in today's day in NFL, it's not like it's extraordinary. But considering his down season, he missed a couple games. And you know, I'm just happy that nice dog bark. I'm just happy the fact that he's finally playing his best. Like the rest of the offense, they're playing their best going into the time of season where it matters most. Yeah. And that's really why, despite not getting a bye and despite who we may have to go play, you can at least feel optimistic about everything. It's like, look, we're playing as good as we have all season, other than a few injuries on defense. Let's fucking roll.
Honestly,
man.
Aside from San Francisco, I don't fear any team on any field that are in that we might have to go through.
Yeah, the only thing that scares me is Green Bay. Not because of Green Bay, but I've watched few Green Bay games, and the refs, it's almost like they really cater to Aaron Rodgers. Like, I don't know if he just whines so much or he has the quote-unquote superstar status or what, but, I mean, if you go up to him and touch him with your finger, they're going to call a penalty for roughing the passer.
And look, I know Aaron Rodgers is a really good quarterback. He's had some phenomenal years, but with as bad as he was, with as bad as he's been, everybody just talks about him like he's the greatest fucking shit ever. And at the end of the day, last time I checked, the dude's only got one Super Bowl. I mean, that's it. He's, yeah. You know, he throws his teammates. He looks like a fucking douchebag. You know, you can't say that about Breeze, but Aaron Rodgers looks.
And Scott had texted last night about his helmet. Scott, would you text about his helmet? Because it's true when you said it.
Like his helmet looks like his freaking head. Like, I don't know if it's just the color, the yellow color, but it just looks like one big head. Like it looks like his head.
He's like yes. A
What's his name?
That is his name, sir. Asshole. Major Asshole.
And his cousin?
He's an asshole too, sir. Gunner's mate, first class, Philip Asshole.
How many assholes we got on this ship anyhow?
Yo!
I knew it. I'm surrounded by assholes.
Keep firing, assholes!
I mean, his head looks like it's the helmet.
Yeah.
It's freaking weird.
He looks weird. Going back to Kamara, the mailman on the live stream did say he heard he had 81 catches this year and last year. The mailman, it's actually 81 all 3 years. Every year he had 81 catches. Isn't that neat? I wonder if they did it on purpose this year, just to get into 81.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. I did see that with Kamara.
And as far as a down year, Jason, yeah, he had 500 receiving yards this year. But his rushing yards were lower than last year, but higher than his first year. So rushing is on par. It was the receiving yards that were down this year.
Well, it just overall, he just didn't look right, and he was injured. I mean, that's all it was. He was injured. He just didn't look right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yet now he's healthy, and he's looking like the Kamara that we're going to need.
Right. And then Kamara. Drew, I was gone for a second. I don't know if you said this, but Drew, I think, tied Peyton Manning for the most 3 touchdown games.
Oh, I didn't catch that one, no.
Yeah, I think it's 93 is what the number was, or 94, something like that. The most he's tied with Peyton Manning with the most touchdowns, throwing 3 touchdowns in a game. Sorry.
3. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at the comment.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
All right. Saints defense finishes. Saints defense finishes the season with 51 sacks, surpassing the 50 sack mark for the 9th time in franchise history and the first time since 2001.
Wow.
Jim Haslett's defense.
Impressive.
Wow. I mean, at first, when I first read that, I was like, oh, I'm surprised we hadn't done that in Sean. Oh, wait, this is defense we're talking about. Never mind. So it doesn't surprise me that we have not had 50 sacks with Sean Payton's defensive coordinators. But that goes to show you that the question, I don't remember if it's in tweets or not, so I'll bring it up here, but the question about going into the playoffs, are we concerned about our secondary? I'm not, because the front line is going to get the pressure making the second. And Eli Apple doesn't have to play now because we got Janoris Jenkins.
All right, now Annie Apple's coming after me.
Don't tell your mama. His mama. She's coming.
Right.
No. She's like, who? Who? I've never heard of that chump before.
You talking about me?
She blocked Annie Apple talking about
you. You or Bobby. It doesn't matter. She didn't hear about him either.
She blocked T-Bob, too.
Yeah. Wow.
After he's been on his show.
Yes. To talk about her charity and all that stuff. I got to tell you, I'm kind of losing respect. I thought I liked Annie Apple, but I've come to realize that she might not be open-minded.
Well, let's put it this way, Jeff. When Eli Apple signs somewhere else next year and she goes with him, you're never going to have to worry about her again. So
that's true.
True.
All right. That's all I got for the game. Y'all got anything else for this game before we move on to the next segment, which is?
Look at I love tweet. Taysom Hill.
He's pounding down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old bandit run.
That's why Scott's here. Every time Taysom Hill scores a touchdown, Scott shows up on the show.
Magically shows up.
More touchdowns, more receiving touchdowns, and Julio Jones and all these other people.
And a lot of guys. Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yep. He's not.
I heard Taysom Hill made the top 10 all-time QBs on the NFL 100 list.
He made the top 10 quarterbacks, the top 10 running backs, the top 10 tight ends, the top 10 wide receivers.
Top 10 pass punt rusher, punt blocker.
Mm-hmm. Did you see, I think it was, shit.
Nope.
Lutz that tweeted something about they had an article about how Taysom does all these things well, and he tweeted the article and was like, "Don't let the coaches see him kick."
Oh,
you don't want him to take his job.
That's funny. Oh, Will Lutz, you're full of jokes. All right, Mordecai tweets in, since Carolina stopped Michael Thomas, 4 catches, 37 yards, same exact stat line he had in the NFC Championship game, are you concerned about this going forward, or do you think Breeze can find others to help us win like he did against Carolina? How big would having AB be?
Not with the circus, fortunately. We're not signing him.
No, we're not.
If it was...
He tweeted today, like, oh well, or so long, or something.
Well, he brought, I mean, Saints are like, hey, don't, just come by yourself. Don't bring an entourage. What did he do? He brought a fucking entourage and cameras. Like, the dude, he's got brain damage. I mean, it's all like, the dude's got brain damage. Sorry.
I don't think that's brain damage. I think that's egocentric.
Something's wrong.
He definitely has brain damage. Yeah, something's off with
it. I don't know if it's brain damage. It could be like
CTE. 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 Am I the first person to ever cheer? CTE.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think he's like bipolar or something. I don't know. Something's not right. He's seeing a psychiatrist and stuff, and supposedly he was supposedly straightening out and kind of going on,
allegedly,
trying to
get to the
right path, but to show up with a freaking camera crew and an entourage is just,
well, I specifically told you not to.
Brain damage. That is Kaepernick. That's the mentality that I am bigger than this, than you. This is about me and my personal agenda. That's what, to me, that him bringing the camera crew was, which until I heard that he brought his camera crew, I was like, you know what? Take him for 3 games. Throw him to the side when you're done. We can use him and whatever. We all benefit from it. But after I heard about the cameras, it tells me this is a guy who's strictly doing this for his own personal gain. He has no desire to help the team, which, again, sometimes it's fine to hire a mercenary. But we don't need him. We don't need what the potential risk and fallout from signing him. We don't need it. We've got Taysom Hill.
There you go.
Yes, there you go.
And Jared Cook.
And Traquan. Don't forget Traquan. Traquan's coming on.
And Lil Jordan.
Lil Jordan's up. They did sign a guy from that White, I think is his last name, Tim White.
Yeah.
I've
heard that name before.
Jeff, you're thinking of Tim Dwight.
Who was White?
Who actually caught passes from Drew Brees at the Chargers.
What's Tim Brown up to these days?
I bet he could play. Being old?
Where's Jerry Rice at? Where is
right?
he?
All right. RJ Savage says, if they call the most fluke play in playoff history the Minneapolis Miracle, Minnesota Miracle, then we are going to drop a NOLA nuke on them. Final score, 49-14. I like the NOLA nuke. I do like that. So if we get a good deep bomb to whoever, I don't care. Maybe a one-handed charity.
You mean like a hand grenade?
Yeah, NOLA nuke. Then they need to change the name of the hand grenade at Tropical Isle to the NOLA nuke.
Well, I think the creator
need to open a bar and come up with a drink named the NOLA nuke.
Yeah, fuck yeah. We'll do it ourselves, the NOLA nuke.
That's my drink. That's what I'm drinking, NOLA nukes.
Okay. Oh,
use the force.
Oh,
wait, something.
It was good until your hand came in.
This is not the vodka you're looking for. Yeah.
All right. AB, Chris Ansbar, AB's cancer. We don't need that. Yeah, that's true. I heard Sean Payton was pissed when he put a pic of him signing the waiver was posted on. That's the other thing. He goes and posts a picture of him signing the waiver. Again, it's all about attention. It's attention for himself. He's trying to stay relevant.
It's also they tell you one thing and you can't listen. Why can't you listen? Like there's something wrong. Like, he can't comprehend shit.
I think it's defiance. I don't know why you're giving him the excuse that he has some kind of learning disability, Jason.
I'm not saying it's exclusive. I think there's both, but I think a lot of it is fucking brain damage.
He's a dumb asshole. All right. Dylan Dupree says, do you think we may benefit from the lack of a bye week? Scott does. Obviously, we would love to rest a week, but I think we're in a good rhythm, and maybe the game next week could help us stay consistent. Scott, that is the point you were trying to make earlier.
Obviously, it's better to have a bye to rest, to only have to play 2 games to go to the Super Bowl. But we are kind of rolling, we're kind of flowing. It's you know, it is what it is at this point.
With the way we beat Carolina, and they did pull out some starters at the end of the game, you had a little bit of rest. You know, you didn't have to play a full four quarters.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, but it's not the same. But also, it's not only just the week of rest. It's, you know, who you get to play.
The rest of the week.
You know, like we would have had, you know, the winner of, you know, like if Seattle wins, then we get a banged up Seattle team, and if it's the other game, you know, you might get Philly. You know, it's like instead of having two, like we're probably going to have to play Minnesota, then Green Bay, then San Francisco.
Maybe.
You know, it's in addition to playing an extra game, we're also playing tougher opponents. But maybe, let me look, it's exercising a lot of fucking demons. And if they go through this gauntlet and make it to the Super Bowl and win a fucking Super Bowl.
I mean, I get exactly. It, but at the same time.
Somehow Breeze will still be left off the next all-time list. But, I mean, that's – if they do this and he gets another Super – I mean, it's – I don't know. At the end of the day, a Super Bowl is a Super Bowl no matter who you beat. But
I like what the mailman says. We're going to beat Minnesota like LSU beat Oklahoma.
I do think we're gonna skull drag them. I really do.
That'll be nice.
I think, yeah. But get ready for something fishy is gonna happen in that Green Bay game. Officiating wise, something fishy is gonna happen in that game.
Hating.
Yes.
All right. Cage in Alaskan says, "Let's take stock of the NFC South 2019. Number one, Saints finished the regular season 13-3. Number two." Falcons save Quinn's job while murdering their draft pick.
Woohoo! Save Quinn and Dimitrov. That's awesome.
Number three, Jameis threw 30 interceptions.
And 30 touchdowns. He threw for 5,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, and 30 picks. That's incredible.
He's a gunslinger, man. All right. And number
four. He said today, if I could just eliminate the picks, I'm going to be awesome.
And not just picks, like pick sixes.
He threw like six. Did Peter McFarland say that? Or did okay.
And then draw a dick.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then I'm going to get some crab legs.
Number four, admittedly, the Panthers lost their starting quarterback and finished 5-11, while the Saints went 5-0 with their backup quarterback. So it's just a nice little recap of the NFC South in 2019.
That makes back-to-back 7-9 seasons for the old Falcons over there.
Yep. All we need is one more, and they can never use the 3-7-9 seasons on us.
Yeah, as a division, I believe the NFC South won 500, their combined record.
Put it. Oh, wow. All right, Spencer Gallen says, if our O-line was still hurt, I'd be a lot more worried, but since they played so well, I'm okay with playing next week. That's a good point. And like Jason was saying, the fact that we got Pete back and Warford came in, we're the offense is not the problem. And really, I feel like, and tell me if you agree, with Janoris Jenkins, honestly –
Jackrabbit.
I don't feel bad about our defense having to step up and do what they need to do. No problem on the defensive line. A little bit of injury. Linebacking core is freaking phenomenal.
Well, that's the big thing because those two guys came back from injury. They were injured. They came back. I will say I would like to get Von Bell back.
That would be nice. Mm-hmm.
But CJGJ is doing a great job no matter where you put him. This kid.
He's good.
Yeah.
He's good.
It's crazy that we got him in the fourth round.
Was it? Yeah. I was thinking third or fourth. Yeah.
I mean, when you consider the limited draft picks we had this year, for us to still get McCoy and still get CJG and to find Harris, you know, was undrafted. To find those three guys with the limited resources we had this year is pretty damn incredible. Again, credit to Jeff Ireland, man.
See, it just shows that we can pull off the big trade to get that first pick. We don't need a lot of players.
I mean, why not? So, all right, that's all I got for tweets. Let's get into pick-ems.
Time to play the game.
That's right.
So I've had a rough last couple of weeks.
You've had a rough 17 weeks.
Well, no, it's the
you're
the
right,
last...
16. We didn't do week one.
Yeah, well, I might have done it in my head. But no, I went 1-3 in week 16, and this past week I went 1-4. That was just fucking terrible.
I went 3-2, be the dubs. I don't remember if I texted you my picks or not.
You probably didn't, but I don't care. You're tracking. All I know is that I'm out. I lost. I don't think there's
and
any way
I picked fair and square. Jake and Drew were there with me.
I think I went 3-2 this week, or 4-1. I don't know which.
You went 3-2 as well. So did they.
Three and two.
Jake and Drew, yeah. So, yeah, Jason.
I saw you tweet the percentage, and I'm like, ooh, I'm down there. Yeah, yeah. I can't catch you.
Yeah, larger league, Sans Hobbs is kind of – Greenbaum, I think you're taking a little too much advantage of the week you missed because, I mean, Sans Hobbs, Mordecai, they're kind of surrounding you, but the fact that you didn't have any of those games on a week that they probably lost 4 or 5
games. Don't do it by percentage. I mean, you made the rules, not me.
Well, if I don't do it by percentage, then
everybody
Sans Hobbs still winning. I mean, he's winning whether it's percentage or number of wins.
That's fine.
It's just 8%.
All right, so Sans Hobbs, Greenbaum, Mordecai, Desi, Tom Enzine, Drew, Jake, me, Who Dat Fitz, Triple D Kennels, Wheels, Big Easy Mafia, the Mailman, Davis Douglas, Trevor Scott Bruno, Christian Mino, Jason, Oh Who Dat Be, Neil and Big Easy Gajon fighting for the last spot. Big Easy Gajon took a big advantage in becoming the horse's ass strictly by going 0-5 for like the third week this year.
Ooh.
Man.
I mean,
Gajon, what the hell? Is Hokie Gajon?
That's like skill.
For you? Are you related to Hokie Gajon?
I mean, I will say in fairness, like week 17 is always weird because you don't know who's going to play, who's not going to play.
Yeah.
Week 17 is always a wacky week.
Well, that's what went into me picking Pittsburgh instead of Baltimore, but yet Baltimore still won.
Yeah.
And the same thing.
Seattle should have fucking won.
Tennessee and Houston. That's why I picked Tennessee.
Yeah.
Seattle should have fucking won.
Seattle should have won.
Yeah, I counted on Seattle doing that stupid shit.
I didn't even watch that game. I was watching the Pelicans win their fourth straight. I couldn't watch.
Yeah.
I'd already seen the heartbreak with Detroit. I knew whatever, you know, something was gonna happen to fuck us. Because right. that's the weird fucking thing. Like Kansas City got had the benefit of having Miami beat New England in New England, you know? So that way now Kansas City got their bye.
Yep.
All we needed was Minnesota beat Green Bay? No. Bears beat Green Bay? No. Detroit beat Green Bay? Had a 14-point lead at half? No. Seattle beat San Francisco? They were there. They were right on the one fucking yard line.
They were 1 inch away.
Oh, and then they get a even before that. Right.
Like the mailman said, they get it. Who does that?
Right. Just hike the ball and fall forward. You're going to score a touchdown.
I was waiting for Russell Wilson to do the Drew Brees, you know, dive over there.
Yeah, or give it to Skittles over there because, you know, they never do.
But again, it's like no matter the Saints. Whenever the Saints need something to happen, it never fucking happens ever, ever.
Story of my life.
And then don't even get me started on the no PI call. And everybody's like, "Oh, but the delay again." Yeah, but you know what? The no PI would have changed everything, and the delay of game wouldn't have been an issue. That screw up affected the entire NFC playoff system.
Yeah, the whole thing.
The whole thing is
and that's why the rule was, and the rule was put in specifically not to fuck up games that meant, you know, were important.
Things. It's classic.
It's gonna have to be something like, basically, what happened last year with Tommy Lee Lewis for. And you know what?
But the worst is that the league is supposed to review it with 2 minutes left in the game. They're supposed to interrupt the game and do it. Even stupid Chris Collinsworth, of all people, is like, I'm surprised they're not reviewing it. Ugh.
That douche said, Al, whatever the fuck his name is, said in his statement that they did review it, but they didn't stop the game to say they were reviewing it.
That's what he said. I know that's what he said.
My talking points like the robot that I am.
And yet here we are still watching every week. New Orleans was the highest rated market. Again, we know that the NFL will continue to fuck us and we just come right back. It's like fucking New Orleans, man. Like our infrastructure is shit. Our leadership is shit. Well, what are you going to do?
Move to Pineville.
We love New Orleans. Go to New Orleans. Or that. Right.
And it's not just New Orleans. I mean, the whole state's kind of fucked, but anyway.
Yeah. But hey, we throw a better party than anybody.
Yeah. Spencer says Al Riveron said or came out and said that the reviewers the no call PI and said it wasn't worth overturning. Seriously, the worst NFL employee ever. Chris Jamino, it's only going to happen if anything happens to Brady or a California based team. And I'll add to that, Christian.
Or Aaron Rodgers.
Or Aaron Rodgers. Right. So let me ask y'all this question, and I don't know if we've ever really talked about it or y'all ever really talked about it. Let's say the rule was in place last year to challenge it or to have the booth review it. Do you think the Tommy Lee Lewis play would have gotten reviewed?
Yeah, because Peyton would have definitely thrown the flag. I mean, and when they see it in slow motion.
Was that within, Pete Carroll didn't have any timeout.
Wasn't that within 2 minutes?
Yeah.
Oh, it was within 2 minutes. Is that automatic? Can he not throw the flag for that?
It was like
no, you can't. It has to go to booth. Wow. Within 2 minutes, after the 2 minute warning, it has to go to the booth, right?
I mean, I would like
from the booth,
but there I would was, like there. Ooh, I don't remember how much time was in on the clock for that.
I think it was right on. I would like to think that it was so egregious that it would have been overturned, but considering what the NFL
last night,
I want to say the
last
Saints
night, that was egregious.
Last year, it happened. There was 2 minutes and change, so I think whatever.
I'm just
they
asking,
wouldn't have.
If,
okay,
if you thought that would have been overturned, I don't know.
I'd like to think so, but
yeah,
the NFL
I do, because the ball was 15 yards away.
You look at last night, though. That looked obvious. There's been so many instances this
but
year
the
where
Tommy
it was
Lewis
pretty
was
fucking
a lot more obvious.
Obvious
than that. But then the Saints benefited from it against Carolina. Didn't we get the call overturned?
Which was shocking.
And it was closer. And actually, that was closer than what the Seattle thing was.
They gave us that, so they don't have to give us one in the playoffs.
Or because it was Peyton's birthday.
They wouldn't give him that. All
happy
right.
Happy birthday, Coach.
Happy birthday. Jason, what's our games?
Did
you have enough time to decide what games you're going to pick for Pick'ems this week?
I don't – it was kind of dicey. You know? Oh, by the way, I got some nice Billy's Boudin right here.
Nice.
But
– Boudin.
It's interesting this year in that – they decided to have both AFC games on Saturday and both NFC games on Sunday. Usually they rotate it. So that way, whoever, you know, they try to help it to where like whoever played on Saturday more than likely will go to the Saturday game next week. But they said, fuck it. We'll put the Saints on Sunday and fuck them. Cause that's what we're going to do. But our first game. So this is pretty incredible. The Houston Texans have made the playoffs 6 times in their career, all 6 years. And they've never had a bye. They've always played in the wild card round. All 6 times they have been in the first game on Saturday of wild card weekend.
Huh.
That's how much everybody thinks of Houston. They're always in the worst game of the weekend.
So why are you saving that for the shitty game of the week? Or
The shitty wild card game of the week?
Yeah.
no, I mean.
Just do it. Just get it.
All right. So so they're at home. They win the AFC South. They didn't have anything to play for this past week against Tennessee and rested a lot of their starters.
And yet – oh, wait, Tennessee won. Never mind.
Thanks, Jeff.
Classic Jeff.
Right. So they host. So they're the 4 seed. So they host another game in the state of Texas. They are relatively healthy. I believe Will Fuller is back. There's talk about J.J. Watt maybe not being back this week but being back next week from his injury. Let's see if they get that far. They host the 5 seed Buffalo Bills, who also had nothing to play for this week, didn't play a lot of their starters. Really good defense, questionable offense, but Josh Allen can run. This game's in Houston. Texans favored by 2.5.
Ooh. Okay. I'm going to tell you this much. I'll go first on this, and I'm taking Buffalo because I was going to take Buffalo even if Houston was getting points. So I'm just getting a freebie.
Damn it, Carl. I'm taking Buffalo also. I mean, it's not like I can beat you anyway, so I'm just...
Yeah. Just take coming along for the ride.
Yep. Buffalo's defense is legit. Taking Houston. Yeah, I think they can stop Houston.
I'm taking Houston.
All right. We should probably listen to him. He's in second place.
Probably.
Deshaun Watson. X-Factor.
Put your money on that.
Buffalo. Better team.
Our next game is the night game, Saturday night in Foxborough, due to New England's loss to Miami. This is the first time they haven't had a bye since 2009. That is crazy. And just goes to, again, show how shitty the AFC East has been.
And they've never missed the playoffs, right?
2008, they missed the playoffs. They won 11 games since and somehow missed the playoffs.
About. Since 2009. They've had a bye week every year.
Since every year since 2009.
10 years.
Yeah.
Or 8 year, whatever.
It's absolutely insane. So they're at home Saturday night. Host the Tennessee Titans, 6-seed Tennessee Titans, really changed the course of their season when they benched Mariota and came up with Tannehill. Derrick Henry won the rushing title this year. So they got a good running game. Tannehill's been playing well. Rookie A.J. Brown has come on. I think he caught another two touchdowns this week. He's just a physical freak. So Tennessee's been playing pretty well, but again, it's a playoff game at home in New England at night. Usually it's a pretty daunting place. The Pats are favored by 4.5. I'll go first. Give me the Titans.
Wow.
Are you picking the Titans to win? I am remembering the Titans. Yeah.
Are you picking them to win, or are you picking them to
– I am picking them to win outright because I think Tom Brady is toast. He is done. No matter what magic Belichick's going to try to come up with, New England doesn't have any weapons at all to score. I don't think they can score, and I think Tennessee can. That's what I'm going with. Titans win outright. Give me the money line.
I'm going with the model franchise, the Pats. Until somebody beats Brady in the playoffs, it's like playoff Rondo. It's playoff
they're about Brady. To.
Yeah, it's kind of where I am, Scott. It's the playoffs.
It's a whole it's a little different
level. Mm-hmm. And
they've been there. Titans haven't. You know.
Yeah. This New England's defense.
This Saturday night will mark the end of the Patriots dynasty.
I mean, if I'm wrong,
I hope it does, but
right. But I'm not gonna stake my pick'em's reputation on it.
Oh, you got a sterling reputation there.
Hey, I beat you last year too, boy.
Oh yeah, you beat me. Woohoo! That says a lot. All right, now we will move on to Sunday. This is going to be the late game on Sunday. The Seattle Seahawks coming off just a brutal blunder. Just fucking Seattle, man.
Fuck, man.
Fucking Seattle.
Fucking Pete Carroll, man. Anytime he gets to the 1 yard line, you know you're fucked.
The fuck, man. The absolute fuck. They travel to Philly to play a banged up Eagles team that won the division. They've got Carson Wentz and everybody else is hurt. Zach Ertz is hurt. All their receivers are hurt. Miles Sanders got injured again this week, so they've been relying on ex-Saint Boston Scott, remember him? Remember?
What did he get, like 3 touchdowns or something?
He's been playing pretty well for Philly. And this line shows Philly's a home dog. Philly is getting 2 points at.
I wish I knew what the weather was going to be like in that game, but I am going to pick Seattle. And I have no good reason.
Because Philly stinks?
Yeah, it's just I think Philly fell into the playoffs. At least Seattle had, you know, Seattle was fighting for like a 13-3 record or something, right? I mean, so and Philly just kind of like tripped over something and found themselves where they are.
Seattle is incredibly banged up.
So is Philly. You just listed out.
You're right. Philly is kind of I'm gonna go Seattle as well.
I'm going to Seattle as well. Not only am I taking Seattle this week, I say to go to San Francisco and beat them next week.
Kind of our best hope. Like, if anybody can beat San Francisco, aside from the Saints, if anybody can beat San Francisco, it's going to be Seattle.
It's not our best hope. It's our only hope.
You are our only hope.
That's not Obi-Wan. How she said it. Come on. Yeah. All right, and now our game of the week. The Vikings. Fucking Vikings. Rested all their starters this past week.
All for naught.
Dalvin Cook was banged up, so I still don't think Dalvin Cook's 100%. But again, at the end of the day, we've gone 42 straight games without allowing a 100-yard rusher. That's going to continue. The last game that mattered for Minnesota was when they played Green Bay on Monday night 2 weeks ago. And look like absolute dog shit. Kirk Cousins does not beat good teams, especially on the road. He just doesn't. So I like I said earlier, and maybe we'll kind of, I mean, well, you make your pick'ems, and then we'll, I mean, I'm sure we're all picking the Saints, right?
I mean, what's the spread?
Spread's 8. Saints are favored by 8.
Ooh, that's a high number.
It damn, is, boy.
It is. I'm not scared, though.
Ooh, that's a high number.
Did you just run into blank?
Bucket. Saints.
Yeah, I think they cover.
Yeah. At least by 2. They'll win by at least 10.
Yeah. Jason?
So there you go. There's your pick-ems to recap. Buffalo at Houston. Houston favored by 2.5. Tennessee at New England. Pats favored by 4.5. Seattle at Philly. Philly a home dog getting 2 points. And then the Vikings at the Saints. Saints favored by 8.
Yeah, get your tweets in before the first game kicks off on Saturday, folks. That's going to bring us into our next segment. Saints preview.
We just gotta do what we do. We play like we play. We be us. We be special. We smell greatness. We finish small. Yes, from the top. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight.
Yes, the Saints are hosting the Minnesota Vikings for the wild card. We pretty much spent a lot of time already alluding to things. Maybe we don't have to spend a whole bunch of time on this, save a little bit of time to talk about LSU. But
go Tigers.
Go Tigers. What do you think? What do you think about, I mean, is there anything unsaid about this playoff game that you feel needs to be said?
I think we're going to beat the shit out of them. I really do. I just don't think the Vikings are that good. Their offensive line is bad. That's what killed them against Green Bay. Green Bay, they didn't stand a chance. And with the Saints' pass rush, getting the 50 sacks for the season, like we talked about earlier, I just think we're going to wreak havoc with Cousins. Cook is not going to be effective. Our offense is humming, and I just think we're gonna destroy them. I don't think it's going to be close. I really don't.
What do y'all been saying all season? Cousins doesn't beat 500, you know, over 500 teams. So,
I tried to say it all year.
I tried
to pick him 1 week this year, and just to say he lost. So
the only thing, Thielen, I think should be back this week.
Well, he was playing last week, but he didn't do anything. He's not effective.
And I think that, you know, obviously he's a good wide receiver, but I really think that the way our defensive line has been playing, that they'll get to Cousins, he won't have much of a chance to throw to him. And, you know, we've been shutting down the way we've been playing against the run. Like Jason said, you know, kind of shutting down Dalvin Cook, at least running the ball. I don't know how effective he is coming out the backfield, catching passes or not.
I'm not sure. I mean, I know the Vikings, when their offense was working this year, they ran a lot of play action. That's kind of their go-to play, but I think
you have to establish a run, and if they can't establish a run, then the play action's gone.
And that's the thing, you know, stop him early, but then also having those three linebackers healthy and playing, I think, is going to make all the difference because they're going to be smart enough to overcome that. So I don't know.
Also, a little bit about Rudolph, because I mean, tight ends have kind of been something that is.
Yeah, but now that we got CJG out there.
Yeah, that's true.
Or DeMario Davis. I mean, if worst comes to worst, stick DeMario Davis on, right. You know.
Yeah. Christian Mina said Sean Payton mocking the skull chant again.
That would be great.
Yeah, let's wait. Let's wait till there's 4 zeros on the clock before we do that. Does Marcus Williams play this week?
I don't know.
I think if he's
or Bell or Von Bell.
Marcus Williams, because of the
I don't know. But Marcus Williams has been playing like ass the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like I don't want to say we don't want guys healthy, but I feel like
game for him to play well.
I feel like guys have stepped. I mean, I don't know. I definitely be as healthy as you can, and I hate to sound.
Do you trust Marcus Williams?
I kind of don't. Kind of don't.
Especially against Minnesota.
I mean, after that last year, he was great, fine. And even part of this year, he was fine. And yeah, like Jason said, it's just the last several games that he's played. It's kind of half of the season, he's just kind of fallen back into his old that kind of.
And that's the problem with defensive backs. It's all about confidence because, look, yeah. I mean, you know, they're going to get beat. It's just that's the nature of the game. You got to have confidence and attitude to say fuck it and come back the next play. And maybe he's lost some of that. You know, I don't know. Like CJG's got some fucking attitude on him. I tell you that.
Like him. Yeah.
I just, you know, like I hate to sound.
And you play your hot hand. I mean, you know what I mean. Let the guy play. And like Janoris Jenkins, play him.
P-Rob. P-Rob's been playing great.
Hey, out of the doghouse, man.
P-Rob has been playing great.
He got a little banged up last game, didn't he?
There was a play, but I think he came right back in. Yeah. So
all right. So score predictions.
I'm gonna go with 38-17. I'm going a big. I hate to sound overconfident, but I just think we're too good. We're playing too well. Our season's not going to end losing to fucking Kirk Cousins. That's just kind of the way I feel about it.
I'll say 45-17.
Whew. I'm going 35-14.
So I'm actually not going to be here for the game. I'm going to miss the game.
Dun, dun, dun.
Playoff game. We had scheduled our – it's our 10-year anniversary, and we got a long, like – trip to Florida, and when I scheduled it, it was the first week of January. I'm like, oh, that'll be week 17, right? And then
like, I thought you scheduled it because you knew we would have the bye.
Well, we should 13 wins. We should have a fucking bye.
You know, your wedding was planned for the bye week in the playoffs, wasn't it?
Well, no. I moved. It was scheduled wild card weekend. I moved it to Friday just in case we had a game, right. but we got the bye and it didn't matter. But this, I was like.
Married in 2009, folks. Then he had got married, and then the Saints won the Super Bowl.
And we in Miami. So on the 10th anniversary, we're going to miss this. And then the Super Bowl was back in Miami this year. So
you need to renew your vows really quick.
somehow it's going to work out. I don't know, but it's just it sucks. I mean, again, another reason for me to really want the fucking bye. And again, couldn't so many things. Just one small thing had to happen. Nope. No fucking bye for you.
No, multiple times one small thing didn't happen. So, Chris Danbury predicted 28-10. The mailman says 42-17. By the way,
so I'll be watching it at a sports bar in Florida. So,
all right, I'll be watching it at my sister's house. The whole family doing our Christmas a little late.
Just so the people know, Jeff did have an option to take my tickets and go to the game, but
yes, I chose family instead.
Yeah, and Jason didn't offer him to me, so.
It was a package deal. If Jeff didn't take him, you couldn't go. It had to be the two of y'all.
Sorry, Scott.
Two of us and Jeff's package.
You could blame Jeff.
He said a package deal. I'm just going with what he said.
All right. Real quick, then. We'll get into final thoughts right after this, but we have to talk about LSU for a little bit with our Tiger Week. Segment. Oklahoma.
Ooh.
That's how you spell it, right?
Ooh.
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 That game was just hilarious, is the best way I can describe it.
Yeah, it was.
It was fun.
It was a holy shit. Like, what?
But you didn't not see that. It's kind of like what you're predicting about the Saints doing in Minnesota. You didn't, like, I have to say, I did come into this game saying, like, everybody keeps talking about, and all I kept thinking is, Oklahoma, it's like an eighth grade football, JV football team, coming in to play against an NFL team.
No, hold on. Look, Oklahoma was a good team.
No, they weren't.
Yes, they were. Oklahoma was a very good team. Stop it. Oklahoma was a very good team. They beat Texas Baylor. regardless, they were a good
okay.
team.
Yeah, okay.
But hold on. Let me finish. They were a good team. But LSU was just so that much better. Like, the one thing that worried me.
The point I just made.
Oh, relax, guy. Maybe I need to do a checkpoint. I'm probably like a three.
Okay. I'll go three because we're three seed.
Three.
Oh, shit. I think he's higher than a three if I had to.
No, I'm just saying, like, I was literally making that point that, oh, okay, maybe I went the other direction. Like, I called them shit. But, okay, no matter how good they were, LSU was like seven levels better.
LSU was a cut above. I couldn't believe what the one thing that worried me was maybe Hurts running the ball and keeping it kind of close, but
he didn't even run that much. I mean, I think I had texted y'all like they just need to keep letting Hurts run it because that's the only thing that's working. You know, I mean, nothing else worked. His passes were off. I mean, he was just overthrowing people. I don't know if it was just caught up in the moment, whatever. But I mean, he's played in big games before, so you would think that he'd kind of be used to that.
As good as obviously it's all about LSU's offense, seven touchdowns in the first half. That's great. But
I mean, that's just
the defense holding him to three and out on the first two drives, it just set the tone. And that was like, that's it. And that's been,
well, that was the one question mark everybody had going into the game was what was the defense going to do
right. against a good offense? Like Oklahoma was averaged like maybe a yard less than them during the season. So
now I'll say like, so Clemson is,
and I mean,
I'm sorry. A lot of people, I'm sure, like Ohio State was the better team, maybe even after the game. But I'm sorry, Clemson is the team who's beaten Alabama. Clemson is the team who, to me, scared me more out of the two. And I respect that team. Now that's a game where I'm not going to walk in like LSU did. Even LSU was like so, and I'm kind of surprised they were like that. We kind of got a little cocky. We were like, I mean, nothing about Oklahoma.
Right, I think they kind of saw the, you know, even they were saying that before the game, like, you know, their offensive line isn't that good, their defense, you know, I think they looked at the tape and were like, okay, you know, we got this. You know, I think they were confident enough to know that. And after the game, they're like, I don't even think that was like one of the top five defenses we played all season.
Yeah, it's kind
of
like win with grace. At that point, I'm a little kind of turned off by
that. Stop it.
I get it, but I mean, I get
Clemson,
it.
Clemson plays the all shut, you know, Dabo's like,
right,
you know, the
right.
all shut
guy. Right. Like, we're disrespected. All they've done is win like 26 straight games.
30, apparently.
I mean, granted, they play in a shit conference.
The mailman did say, but yes, it would be nice to give Clemson their first loss in their past 30 games. Their quarterback never lost in college before. And yeah, he will lose this game. Clemson is beatable. They just, to your point, they haven't played anybody good enough to beat her,
right,
including Alabama.
Well,
yeah,
hold on.
And their defensive coordinator is like kind of this mastermind kind of guy who comes up with game plans to really take away what the offense of the other team does well, but everything LSU does as well. I mean, you can stop Chase, but you can't stop Chase. You can't stop Marshall. You can't, you know, you can stop one,
Jefferson,
but you're not going to stop
right.
Chase. You're not going to stop Marshall. You're not going to stop Moss. You're not going to stop Hilaire. Hilaire didn't even freaking basically play against
Oklahoma. That's the thing. They did all that with pretty much without Hilaire.
I mean,
it's hilarious.
You know, Curry, like I think I texted y'all during the game, he reminded me a lot of Chris Ivory, not just because of the hair, but
mostly because of the hair.
You weren't the last person to say something about that.
You know,
that,
just because of the way he ran. I mean, he was like freaking rolling over.
My brother-in-law texted me the same thing.
He was running with purpose. You know, and Chase is supposed to be their best wide receiver, but then you go into the game and Jefferson freaking goes off. You know, it's like stop one or you can even maybe stop two, but you're not going to stop all of them.
Well, and like on even on some of those throws, it's like some of those throws he wasn't even open, and it didn't matter. It didn't matter.
As long as they give Burrow time, you're not stopping this offense.
And he had some passes where he dropped back and he's just sitting there and sitting there and sitting there.
That was the biggest thing. Like so many times they only rushed three.
The mailman wants to know who's Kalaire. I didn't even catch him saying it.
I didn't either.
Kenny Kalaire.
He's like, Jason's like, what's his name? Rondé Barber, messing up everybody's name.
Michael Thompson. Michael Thompson.
He was horrible.
Fucking
Marshawn Lattimore.
Both of them. That's like, we got the shit. We got the Lattimore announcers.
Marcus Lattimore.
We always get him. We always get him. And Buck and Aikman get to do another Cowboys game. That doesn't matter.
That means nothing.
But Kenny Albert, like, or was it Kenny Albert, his name, whatever?
Yeah,
he sounds like
Kenny
he puts Albert. Like a sack of marbles in his mouth when he talks.
And yet he still has a job calling games for a while.
It was really cool for the LSU game for them to have the LSU broadcast on the SEC Network. I didn't like the split screen. That kind of bothered me
right.
a good bit. But I did like that they had
But it
that.
Was awesome listening to it, yeah.
Yeah.
So I did. So I started the game with that. And I was annoyed at the small screen, but then when Oklahoma scored to tie it at 7-7, I'm like, all right, let me switch over to the regular broadcast. And LSU got out to this huge lead, so my superstitious self was like, yeah, I'm going to leave it on this for a while. It was only until the very end when the game was in hand where I put it back to hear the radio broadcast. But I hate it. Like, there was no reason for the side thing with all the little stats.
Yeah,
like, just give me the big screen with my broadcast. Right. That's what I want.
You know, if LSU goes on and wins the national championship, just to put it in context, like, I mean, they could seriously go down as one of the greatest college football teams ever. I mean, the stuff they're doing this year, the records they've broken, the records they're probably still going to break.
And you even know, the teams they played, they will have beaten seven top 10 teams at the time playing them. And it, you know, like that matters. Maybe Texas isn't top 10 right now, but at the time they were. And who, like, if Texas wins that game, then they're – you know, then, you know, it helps their season and they stay up there whereas the loss kind of helps. You know, you have to factor that in, but it's absurd.
I mean, even if not the best team, is it, would you go so far as to say even before the game, this is the best college offense ever?
Yeah.
It's hard to argue when you consider what teams they have beaten, what defenses they've beaten. Yeah. Yeah.
Although I think NFL 100 team had to vote, they would probably not make in the top 10.
Probably not. And, you know, as much as you guys know I love Taysom Hill, I love Joe Burrow that much more.
Like, you love Joe Burrow more than Taysom Hill?
More than
Taysom
Hill.
Wow, holy shit, stop the presses.
Like,
that's the man who created the Taysom Hill fan club.
I want the Saints to do whatever they need to do to get this guy. Like, his confidence level, his swagger, his focus. You know, they asked him after the game, you know, how do you feel about all the records you guys have broken? You went in the Heisman, blah, blah, blah. The only record that matters is January 13th. That's what his response was. Like, so he is so focused on just winning this game.
You texted us, and I'm going to ask you, what would, if you were Loomis, Gale, Sean Payton combined, what are you willing to do in order to get him?
Like I said, whatever it takes. I mean, I would – obviously, you're going to have to trade draft picks.
To
move from 32 to 1 is going to take a lot.
A lot. But, I mean, you're probably going to have to throw a player or two in there. I mean,
you would have to. And a good player.
As good as Kamara is – this league can, in the Saints just in general, can find running backs. I mean, look at Pierre Thomas. I mean, undrafted. They can find them. And the lifespan of a running back is so short in the NFL. It's, what, 5 years at the most usually?
So you'd give him Kamara.
You're talking about being set at quarterback for the next 15 to 20 years.
Even Kamara was a third-round pick.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can find them. They are out there. The running backs are there. I mean, we picked up Latavius Murray. I don't think he's done as well as Mark Ingram, but, you know.
How many years of first-round pick? Sansbury says next 2 or 3 years of first-round picks.
It would take at least that. But that's the problem. Yeah. I mean, you're really hindering your
– But isn't it worth it?
Ability.
But – look at our first
round.
Isn't it worth it?
If Joe Burrow ends up – you take that gamble, and it's, let's say it works out, and you have every reason to believe that he would work out, especially with Sean Payton and Pete Carmichael. Let's say – I mean, wouldn't it be worth that much for a 20-year quarterback?
You're not getting 20. Let's say 15, but still.
15-year quarterback?
15 years.
The following Drew Brees, too.
But the problem is...
Like you're going to be under Drew Brees for the next 2 years learning.
But, I mean, you're going to have...
Y'all crazy. You can't do that.
You can, though. Mike Ditka did it.
No.
Watch. Yep.
Yeah, how'd that work out for us?
Well, it's different. It's Ricky Williams who's a
pothead. Oh, yeah. Oh.
Ricky Williams was a fucking pothead.
The problem is you're going to go 4 or 5 years without being able to compete because of your lack of draft. Like, the lack of draft picks is going to hurt you that much.
Giving up a first round, you're still going to have your other draft picks.
Not a team that seems to be finding diamonds in the rough.
We're finding people left and right.
That's assuming we're going to be able to
keep – talked about it earlier.
That's assuming
you gotta believe, Jason. Keep Ireland. You got to believe.
You got
to
do what? Wrong?
Where's your belief?
You got to believe.
You got to believe.
I believe.
One Super Bowl with Drew. Yeah, because we had shitty defenses surrounding him. Other than that, I mean...
And when we give away all our draft picks...
We can get free agents.
Said, 5 years of suffertude. 5 years. I'll take 3, 7, and 9 years to recover for 15 years of again.
That's probably what it would take.
Okay. Go even that far. Would you trade 3 losing seasons for Joe Burrow?
Man. You know.
I would take those 3 losing 12 seasons.
It
means 12 seasons of playoffs. Possible more Super Bowls. He might be
when you put it that way.
All right, I'm going to end the show. I must say he's going to be better than Drew Brees. With Sean Payton, he might.
When you put it that way.
I mean, I just he's a once in a generation.
I mean, we had 3, 7, and 9 seasons with Drew Brees. It didn't hurt. It didn't kill us.
Nope, sure didn't.
Came
almost
close.
But hey,
and I think I'm got my belt on you, motherfuckers.
He's got the mobility. He's got the arm strength. Like I think I said one other time, like, you know, you watch Drew and like there's times where you're like, oh man, you used to watch him Burrow. It's like, oh, he could have ran for that. But you got to remember it's Drew Brees, not Burrow.
I'm going to say this. And this is not to disrespect Teddy, but like we watched Teddy play. And I watched like Jimmy Garoppolo play. And I watched Russell Wilson play last night. And the two of those guys are better than Teddy. And they have this it factor that Joe Burrow has. And it's kind of like after Drew Brees, we don't have the it kind of guy. We got a guy who can win games, but it's work. Where Jimmy G,
you're putting a lot of faith in old Jimmy G right here.
I'm sorry, he impresses me. I'm going to give him respect for what he deserves.
They're the one seed.
They're legit. I mean, he's legit. He is good. He's got it. Russell Wilson is good. He's got it. Maybe not as much it as the others, but like there's certain quarterbacks who just have it. And the other quarterbacks who get there have to work to get there. And I think Teddy's a guy who has to work to get there. He doesn't have it. Joe Burrow has it. And those kind of players come around like maybe 1 or 2 every couple of years. Even Patrick Mahomes, I think Pat Mahomes is not as good as Jimmy G.
I would
take Jimmy Garoppolo over Pat.
Oh, my God. Everybody, please remember this statement right here, what Jeff just said. This might be the most classic Jeff thing he has ever said.
I'm sorry. I said it. I would take Jimmy G over Pat.
Okay. Let's bet a stake in 5 years. Whatever stat you want to do.
All right. We'll think about it for next week. All right.
Don't bet stakes because I don't want y'all.
No. Here's the thing. I trust Jeff to pay out. Now it might be a $5 piece of shit steak at the store, but at least he's going to
grill it here.
Right. At least he's going
to
pay up.
You got to come up here to get it.
That's fine.
The mailman. What?
That's fine. Yeah.
All right. We can get Travis Lawrence next year.
All right. Just to tie a bow on the LSU thing.
Who's Travis Lawrence?
I don't know. To tie a bow on this, I think I texted y'all this. When Billy Cannon, I don't know if I did or not, when Billy Cannon won his Heisman in 58,
God, Jeff
LSU won a national championship in New Orleans against Clemson. They won 7-0, I think.
And look, we'll definitely have more
this
time.
This has all happened before. It will all happen again.
We'll definitely have a little more time to talk about it.
Next week. 13th.
Yeah.
Like David says, we are not getting Burrow, fellas. Even a smart authority on the subject no more omnipresent than Christian Garrick.
Said, oh, God.
I don't think we are getting Burrow the other night. And he's really smart and stuff.
I mean, that's the problem. He's probably right. I mean, Cincinnati's not traded.
Jeff, you're on crack, apparently.
I love it. Everybody hates me now. Jeff, Chris Sansbury, I like you, Jeff, but what the fuck?
Right? That was one of the dumbest things Jeff said. And Jeff said a lot of dumb shit. That's one of the dumbest.
I went a little too far. I got a little out of control. I got
Jeff's
caught up
at a seven.
Right? Jeff's at a seven. Are you a Mitch Trubisky fan as well?
Thing where you're saying you're going, and then like it's coming out of your mouth, and you're like, no, but I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going on. I'm going with it. Whatever.
You were just overcome by his handsomeness because he is handsome.
Jimmy G. He earned my respect. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
All right. And he's better than Pat Mahomes. All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all their friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. You can follow us on Twitter for daily conversation, like us on Facebook to watch live broadcasts, subscribe on YouTube to watch or listen as an alternative to your podcast app. And, of course, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, DomePatrolPodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Baby Yoda donkeys.
Good night, Hootat Nation.
To drink.